2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another Geeks Vegas Lines Week 7 NFL Betting Angles and Daily Fantasy Football Breakdown, brought to you by DFSArmy.com, as well as being sponsored by Fantasy Draft, the home of rake-free fantasy sports, and Overlay DFS, the home of sit-start progressive jackpot contests. Remember to like and subscribe, and welcome back to Week 7. I've got my man, Season Long Says, here with me. What's up, my brother?
That was a mouthful, man, that intro. That was pretty good.
It was a lot.
You handled it well. You're getting better. It's you do the hosting duties. You're doing analysis, man. I'm impressed. I just like sitting here watching you.
Well, you know what? I'm getting better at the scripted component. I like the part where I just talk shit. But when I have to read something, we're working on it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was going to say, before we introduce our third parties, you can notice our new graphics today. I want to give myself a little bit of gloat. I spent 3 or 4 hours trying to figure out how StreamYard works. So if you're listening on the audio cast, I'm sorry, but if you're on the video cast or watching live, man, our new graphics, we got Odell in the bottom corner over there with the greatest catch of all time. Some that are 50 years old or older would argue that it might be Dwight Clark, but the new generation, it is the Odell catch.
Absolutely. And yes, the graphics are looking beautiful. We're stepping up our game.
We'll get
in
there.
That department. We got the AV nerds helping out here, make it work. And that said, welcome back as well. Our other partner in crime here, Statsational, John Alessi. What's up, my brother?
What's going on, boys? Just a little heads up, as you guys are introducing me, a major storm is like blowing through. So if I suddenly disappear, this podcast will get a little bit dumber and a little less good looking. So just a heads up.
let's hope those Florida storms don't knock you and Stez out, because I believe what hits you hits Stez about half an hour later.
Exactly. What part of Florida is John?
I'm right by Clearwater.
Okay, all right. I'm up a little further north.
Yeah.
Now that all the people know that, I'm sure they're very excited about where we are.
Yes.
Stez is in Florida man country. Well, John, you're kind of in the, you know, the snowbird country a little bit more.
Yes.
So it's a little different.
No doubt.
Yeah. All right. So week 7, guys. I can't believe it. The season is flying by. We're coming off of another last week. It's so amazing how the fantasy world goes, and especially in daily fantasy, where we had week 6 or week 5, which was the chalkiest sort of week ever, where anybody talked about went off, and scores were winning lineup scores were hovering in sort of the 95th percentile level of how high scores can potentially ever be in daily fantasy sports. And last week, then we had more of it was always going to be a tougher week. It was always going to be lower scoring. You could tell just because the greatest players were in bad matchups and the bad players were in mediocre matchups. And the whole thing was just a shitstorm. Where the chalk did not work. So let's find out what happens now. What happens next? How did betting go last week for you, John?
It was one of those, I'd like to say it was bad luck. So lost I needed that extra point to have a shot in the Atlanta-Arizona game. So missed the extra point, was painful there.
Oh, that was brutal.
And then the last second touchdown with Miami was the cover against Washington, had Washington. So that was another bad beat. So we flipped just one of those. It's a good week. And losing both, and of course lost the Green Bay game as well, which a lot of people say they should have lost, but totally outplayed them. So many drop balls, ugly game, referees as well. So not the best week. Definitely was an odd week all around. And luckily probably the model was very light, one of the lightest weeks we've ever had, 4 games. Going to have a lot more games this week, though.
There it is. You know what? That's how it goes with some of these games, man. A bounce of the football, you know, a missed field goal, a missed extra point. tough things, but you know, that's the game of football. It's high variance, baby. I love it.
All right. Well, we're going to jump right into it then. Another one of these amazingly high lines again, and it's hard to believe that we have to consider at this point Buffalo, one of the three best teams in the AFC. I mean, you can't really call Kansas City a lock to make the AFC championship anymore. I can't believe that Buffalo at this point, if we would have looked back a month or two ago, is going to be a 17-point favorite at home against Miami. John, what the heck are the bettors doing here? I mean, the 17, it just seems like that's too much for me. Like at first glance, I haven't dove into the numbers at all, but Buffalo, am I having institutional bias that Buffalo is not a good team when they are?
I think they're a good team. I think 17 points just seems ridiculous. We've said this before though, with Miami, you know, just seems like too many points. Said that with the Charger game. But I do think 17 is an awful lot of points. And the money's really coming in on Miami. Again, we're seeing 83% of the cash come in on Miami and 60% of the tickets. On the over-unders, the tickets are actually split. The total, I believe, is 40.5 right now, opened up at 41. But the money is coming in on the over. So while the line has come down, the total has come down to 40.5. 81% of the cash is on the over. So people are expecting a little bit more scoring than the 40.5. You know, we've seen these bad offenses against bad offenses. I don't know if Buffalo's, I guess Buffalo is not the best of offense, but defense is pretty strong. So that's kind of where you get in the 40.5 there. If you look at my numbers, I don't have, this is one of those games where we're going to, I'm not anticipating a bunch of scoring either. I think I've got 38 total on this, 39 total, something like that. So I'm right pretty close to the number, but I've got Buffalo being actually even better than the line. But
I did
that,
my own.
That tends to happen.
I did my own line on this one, and I was off. I had 13.5, so obviously I'm on Miami as well. Geek, take a look at our screen real quick. There's one reason why the NFL is so excited, and it's this man right here. It is Mr. Josh Allen right here doing his Fortnite dance, okay? Josh Allen is got to be just like, is that – he is one of the few quarterbacks, I think, in DFS. And again, you guys are the experts. I'm going to leave it to you. But can he be a naked quarterback, meaning can I just play him without any of the receivers?
Listen, anytime you've got someone who's rushing – as frequently as Josh Allen is inclined to, and it hasn't been as much this year in fairness as last season, okay? Because he's maxed out 46 rushing yards against Cincinnati in week 3. But for the most part, he's been, you know, he definitely takes off. And I think he's scored a bunch of touchdowns. I think that's been an interesting component. But he hasn't passed, you know, 30 rushing yards really any game, but
you just said it. He scores touchdowns.
They definitely use him by the goal line, which is important.
Like how they used to use Cam.
Absolutely. He absolutely can be run out naked, but the part I disagree with is that he's one of the only quarterbacks that can be used naked. There are a number of them, even some that spread the football around quite a bit. Mahomes and Russell Wilson are that way. Lamar Jackson absolutely is that way as well, and Kyler Murray. So there is now a fairly nice-sized group of quarterbacks that you don't need to stack if you don't want to in daily fantasy. That said, for this week, I don't mind rolling out a little, even Cole Beasley. I won't do it. I won't do it again.
Well, you know what? There's no upside. I mean, he's a perfectly good season-long play because he gets you double-digit fantasy points. I see John agreeing. You're on that? I mean, like, this is, can you see a game where Cole Beasley gets 115
not
yards?
Cole, but I could see John Brown, the sheriff, doing a little bit.
I'm using Beasley in my season. I have him. I've got one league where I've got a bunch of buys this week, and he's definitely a viable option in the season long. I mean, you're going to sprinkle him in GPPs, no doubt. If I'm playing a limited amount of GPP, he's not going to be in my core group of guys that I'm using. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. And this game has a little bit of everything goes to the rushing game risk going on as well. So it's not where I'm going to be. I get if you did the math, and I don't have it in front of me. I probably should, but I don't. But if I did the math, I'm sure the game total, like the projected total for the Bills here, is probably something like, you know, it's got to be 30 points or 29 or some. The team total has to be in that range. I should have it in front of me. I just don't. But they're going to score some of the most points in the league, but it could easily just go to the running backs.
Yeah, I mean, if you just do it quick, so you just kind of, for everybody, just cut the game in half and then cut the total in half, cut the spread in half, and then add that to the half. So you get about 28 or so is what they're projected to score.
28,
right? Yeah. 28 to 11 or something like that would be the 28 and a half to 11 and a half would be the projection for a lot of points. But, you know, when you start looking at game script, can we see that they get up by two touchdowns and then totally run the ball on Miami? I mean, that could be a very likely type of game script here. So
something you almost would, I would say, the more likely game script of anything else. So, yeah, I mean, just on that note, I tend to avoid the offenses in these type of games outside of the running back position.
Yeah. Now going over quickly to the Miami side, Devontae Parker scored in back-to-back weeks. Preston Williams, you know, not somebody you're really going to consider at this point. He's still a rookie. I like the upside. Our guy Kenyon Drake in PPR leagues is starting to at least look alive with Ryan Fitzpatrick taking over the offense. We saw Fitzpatrick, you know, basically brought the offense back from the dead. I know it was in a battle for last place against Washington. Are any of the passing options or Mark Walton, Kenyon Drake, any of these guys even worth talking about, or should we just move on?
I think you hit the right guy. It's not Mark Walton. It's only Kenyon Drake. And only because on DraftKings, Kenyon Drake is very inexpensive at 4,100. You know, he had 9 targets last week against Washington. That was a closer game. But, I mean, they're not bringing out Kylan Ballage when they're down by 20. What are they going to do? They're going to put in the crazy Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, split them wide, get the pass catching running back offense out on the table. And that's when you're just going to, that's when you're just going to have a little bit of passing work to Kenyon Drake. So even in a losing effort down big, I don't think Kenyon Drake comes out of the game. And at 4,100, I think you can kind of take some shots there. I don't know if he's going to score a touchdown though. I don't really think Miami's going to do a whole lot on offense here. The Bills are a good defensive team. So if you're in a season long league, pick up Bills defense if they're taken already.
The sneaky play was to grab them when they were on the bye last week. They're going to be highly bid on. All right, moving on. Minnesota. The passing game came alive last week, John. This game, they're going to Detroit, who put up a fight in Green Bay. You know, that was interesting. This opened at a pick 'em. It's gone to Detroit getting a point at home. Minnesota back, or is this still a 1970s Dalvin Cook style offense?
I think we're starting to see some signs that Minnesota's going to be a contender. They've got a good enough defense. We talked about it 2 weeks ago that we were expecting that Giant game to start to see a little bit more out of the passing game, and now we've gotten it the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, I think Minnesota's on the right path here. Detroit, a lot of people say they should have won that game against Green Bay. Obviously, the calls at the end of the game were terrible, but they didn't play well enough to win that game either. So, if you look at it on the whole, that wasn't an impressive performance. So if we dive into where the money's going right now, as you said, the game opened up at a pick. It's now Minnesota -1, and 67% of the money, as well as the tickets, are on Minnesota right now. If we flip on over to the total, that's gone up from 44 to 45.5, and all of the money is coming in on the under. 89% of the money, while the tickets are about 50-50, but we're seeing more of the money come in on the under. So I think people are buying into the fact that the defenses here are a little bit better. Maybe it's going to be a rushing type of game. And they're looking for this game to stay under the 45.5.
Yeah, and we won't dive too much into this right now because we're developing a podcast where we're going to go do all gambling all the time, all betting all the time. But I'm interested to see what actionable advice you can tell us when you say the money's coming in on one side or it's moving to this side. What sort of actionable advice can we take from that during the weekend? If there's like a 15-second answer, that'd be great. If not, we can dive into it on our gambling pod.
Yeah, we'll get into it more. But when you see ticket money, when you see the amount of tickets going on to one team with the money on the opposite side, generally that money is going to be more sharp money. It's going to be the better. It's going to be the bigger bettors. And the public is generally the tickets. Those are the $25 and $50 type of bettors. So bigger money means sharper money. So we're looking at a differential between the money and tickets.
Geek, can we play Kirk Cousins again? That's all I want to know, because you know, when he comes on the scene, here's our new graphic. Ready? You like that.
No, no. We're benching the captain this week. Benching Captain Kirk. Going back to Dalvin. Going back to Dalvin in a situation where the statsational power rankings model, Mr. John Alessi's model, shows an expectation of 191 rushing yards for the Vikings run offense, which is essentially telling us that the Vikings, good at running football. Detroit, bad at stopping run. So keeping it simple, no. The last two games were extremely, extremely tilted towards the passing game. So what I'm getting from this is that the Vikings coaching staff is playing to the strengths or the weaknesses of the teams that they're opposing right now. When you can pass comfortably against a team that can stop the run, they're going to throw. But when they can run, they are going to run it. So let's stick with Dalvin Cook here and the running back position. Let's avoid the Diggs and the Thielen type chalk that's going to happen, especially with Diggs coming off of that big game, and now he's going to get the Darius Hayward Slay treatment. That's right. I threw the Hayward in there. And yeah. So we're going to avoid that. If you need to use a pass catching piece from this game because that makes you feel happy on your insides, then you could go with Adam Thielen on the Viking side. But Dalvin Cook's the guy that interests me. I'm going to stay away from the passing attack for this Lions team.
What do you mean
for the Vikings team? For the Vikings, right? The Vikings team. Now on the Lions side, I don't like any of it. Nothing. I don't play players against Minnesota. Let's just keep it simple. I just don't play guys against the Vikings. Who are you going to play? Galladay? I love Galladay. He's going to be covered by Xavier Rhodes. That's a very good cornerback. Marvin Jones Jr., I've seen him have big games specifically in this matchup, specifically because of the Xavier Rhodes effect. But do I want to count on that? I have a hard time with it. But if you need to play someone, it's Marvin Jones Jr.
Yeah. So you don't like... any of the ancillary players there? There's no one that's
no. This is a defensive game. There's no point in that. The only guy is Marvin Jones Jr. And again, it's only because of the Xavier Rhodes effect potentially reducing target volume for Kenny G. By the way, I want to talk about Kenny Galladay.
Yeah.
On my showdown breakdown, I sang a Kenny G song.
Oh, like
in honor of him.
I thought he doesn't have any words. It's all like that sort of saxophone with the long reed thing attached to it.
I made up my own words. You got to go back and listen to it.
The geek makes sweet love to Kenny G.
Oh, my goodness. It's such beautiful music.
Hey, guys, our friends at Overlay.com have been sponsoring the podcast. If you had a chance to check out their game, they're sponsoring the Geeks Vegas Lions.com. Tired of having to pick the perfect player at every position in order to win on your salary cap DFS? Tired of having your salary cap lineup out of the running in the first 5 minutes? Does playing DFS salary cap feel like a job? You want the fantasy game where the pros with 150 lineups and computer algorithms can't dominate? Well, then OverlayDFS.com has a new revolutionary start-sit game for fantasy sports. They are the home of the single-entry GPP. Here's how you play, geek. Make 12 sit-start decisions from over 30 matchups they present to you. They're going to give you a win, a loss, or a tie based on each decision you make. Records in the top 10% will be rewarded 9 times your buy-in. If you go 12-0, you'll win their progressive jackpot bonus. All matchups are player versus player and who will get more fantasy points. Hey, John, usually you can win with 8-4 record, but sometimes even 7-5, 9-3 if it's really a good week. You'll make 12 picks from the matchups listed. This week, they have some really interesting ones. They have Lamar Jackson versus Russell Wilson. Who do you think will win in that matchup, John?
Give me that again. It was Russell Wilson and who?
And Lamar Jackson. Who's going to have more fantasy points in that matchup?
That's interesting.
Just off the top of your head. No.
I'm going to go with...
no spreadsheets.
All right. Top of my head, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson.
Okay. And then the other one they have is they have Bridgewater versus Minshew.
Minshew.
Yeah, these are tough. Yeah.
Minshew seemed like easy to me in that one.
And it's funny, and I thought Bridgewater. So it's the object is to stay consistent and finish in the top 10% so you can win 9 times your buy-in, guys. And if the stars align, you'll win the mega progressive jackpot. So OverlayDFS.com, our friends over there are kind enough to sponsor the broadcast. And go check them out and play the game. You could start. They have games as low as $2.50 all the way up into, I think, $109. All right, guys. Arizona, Great game from Kyler Murray last week. John talked about a little bit. I forget if it was on air or off air. They're going to the Giants, who were actually favored 3. And you know who's coming back in this game, John, right? Our friend right here. There he is. Say hello. Say hi. Hi. Hi, Saquon.
There it is.
Yep. Saquon's back. Talk to me about the gambling angle and what is going to go on. What, and does Barkley mean anything to the line?
Yeah, he does. He's moved. He's worth, I think it's probably about a point.
Because I was going to say, even peak Adrian Peterson was worth maybe a point, right?
Yeah, it's real tough for running backs. But also you have to factor in the fact that we're dealing with a third running back now here that he's taking over for with the Giants as they lost Gallman. So, yeah, it should be about a point. And I think the line is perfectly right on the right number here at -3. The public, however, thinks the Giants should be favored by more as the money's coming in 78% on the Giants with 62% of the tickets. We flip over to the total, and just on the total alone, 50, this is a game that DFS players are going to be interested in. And you can tell the betting public thinks the number is actually a little low. The 50 is being bet over 95% right now. The money is on over the 50 points. So this is going to be a chalky type of DFS game, I believe.
Geek, I mean, it's funny that John says that. So I guess I'm chalk when it comes to DFS because this is the game I was looking at. I love Daniel Jones this week. I think that he could finish as a top 5 QB on the week. I always defer to you for my sanity check on this stuff because sometimes, you know, I like to get a little crazy. So is he a live play even in GPP?
Yeah, both of these guys are live. Now, DraftKings did us the disservice of jacking up the Daniel Jones salary level right up there with other really super viable quarterbacks. Like, he's not some inexpensive option. He's 6,100 on DraftKings right now with Kyler Murray coming in at a jacked up 6,700. And for comparative purposes, that's above Russell Wilson. So these guys are not cheap by any stretch. You've got Daniel Jones on DraftKings, same price as Jared Goff, who I like more. So it's not that I don't think Jones is in a great spot. Everybody who plays against Arizona is, for all intents and purposes, in a great spot. And every single quarterback has come through against this team so far this season, all of them. So we like this Giants offense. But where is it going? Now that Saquon Barkley's back, is a lot of the scoring going to go through Saquon? Yes. So are those scores going to also have an effect on Daniel Jones? Perhaps, because it's 50-50 how Saquon's getting that touchdown given to him. Is he handing it to him or is he throwing it to him? Now, we've also got the Evan Ingram angle here. Ingram coming back, practicing in full. The other thing is Barkley practicing in full. It's important to note that these guys were almost held out the last week because it was a short week and they figured they had the bye and they're just going to let these guys heal up. So we are potentially getting back a fully healthy Barkley and a fully healthy Evan Ingram. Evan Ingram's got the cheat code going against this Arizona tight end defense right now. He is jacked up in salary as well, but you know, he's one of those players you're going to want to try to get up to here. We don't know if Shepard is going to be back this week. That's the question.
Not only is he not going to be back this week, they said it's going to be a long time till he's back. I mean, he really got his bell rung pretty bad. I don't think they're in any, he's part of their long-term plan, Sterling Shepard. They're in no rush to get him back. But what's crazy is, and John can, you know, talk to this as well, is that the Giants are 2-3. Somebody is, both Dallas and Philly, one of them is going to be, you know, they're both 3-3 right now. So one of them is going to be 3-4. It's going to be, Giants are not out of it. So they're going to be pressing the gas right here. I mean, the Giants are all in and going for it, right, John?
Oh, 100% they're going for this. That division has looked, in the last couple of weeks now, a lot weaker than we thought it was maybe after the week 3. So just strictly from how many games back, like you said, they're in this thing with a very winnable game this week. They are going to try to win it. They obviously think they have a quarterback, and don't be shocked if we get some, maybe, you know, the trade deadline's coming up and someone, I just heard a couple hours ago, the someone talking about possibly trading Eli Manning to the Bears. Who knows? Which would ruin my life because Eli Manning will go to the Bears and probably win a Super Bowl, and then I'll
No, he won't.
Geek and I have been talking about how Eli's carcass is probably, you know, I mean, that's been 4 or 5 years old already. That's, you know, it is. Yeah,
but with this game, I'm more excited from a DFS standpoint. I'm a little bit more excited on the Giants side. Think about the tight ends that have done damage to Arizona, and now you've got a real legit tight end here. Ingram's just an impressive physical specimen when you watch the games. I mean, he looks like just a big wide receiver playing.
That's what he is. I mean, he's
just a big but we don't need him to block. We need him to catch some touchdowns. And this is, I mean, this is as an ideal situation. So you're getting he's going to be owned, obviously, but tough to fade. Tough to fade this guy.
Geek, if he doesn't play, I mean, I don't even want to say it because I want to watch your face when I do, but Rhett Ellison, just kidding. Just kidding.
He is going to play, though. But yeah, for real, John, I want to agree with something you just said on this game. And we're taking a little extra time with these games because there's fewer this week. But, yeah, it's tough to really find pieces to want to add from the Arizona side. You know, Larry Fitzgerald just hasn't been doing it. They've been spreading around the football really well. Kyler Murray takes a lot of those touchdowns himself, or he runs them in. He's still not proficient at throwing for touchdowns. So, and with David Johnson sort of gimpy a little bit, and you know, I see him shuffling in and out with Chase Edmonds a lot more than I'm comfortable with for the price and salary level that he's at right now. I'm having a hard time like finding a whole lot going on from the Arizona side that I want outside of just Kyler Murray naked. And naked Kyler Murray, you know, he's a handsome man. So
if you use Kyler Murray, can you use someone on let's say you use Kyler Murray without anyone on the Arizona side, do you use him with someone on the Giants side?
Absolutely. You still want to game stack it, but you just don't have any stack owned with Murray. So yes, definitely Murray, Saquon, Evan Ingram is cool by me.
Last thing, you know, I want to ask you, yes or no, stacks,
but just no one with Murray, unless it's FanDuel, by the way, where you can get Larry Fitzgerald for free.
Yep. Yes or no, Geek, Golden Tate in play here?
He's in play, but I do think there's going to be a little bit of more excitement. You know, I like that if Shepard is out, I think you have to increase the like of him. And of course, Darius Slayton, you gotta keep him in mind. I did see that you were picking up Slayton in a lot of your season long leagues. Well, so very sneaky.
The reason I did is, you know, the stat that stood out to me is I'm a big air yards believer.
Yeah, he's a big air yards guy. Absolutely.
Yeah. So if they're throwing to him down the field, he's going to come up with two or three of them. And that's all you need in season long is three catches for 80 yards. I mean, this guy looks like he could be, you know, even DeSean Jackson light. I'll take that. Peak DeSean Jackson is so good for an actual football team, even if it's not the best for fantasy. It just opens everything up. Hey, so next one. This is the game of the week for me. I don't know. I don't hear much buzz about this game. John, am I wrong? Is there a lot, like, percentage of all tickets? Like, this seems like this would be a game that could be amazing scoring. Colts off the bye. Houston is just super hot right now. I don't even know who to pick in this one. I could literally see either side of this one.
Yeah, I think the public's going to be interested in this game. And, you know, you're saying you could see either side. So is the public. This game is 50-50 split down the middle. Neither side really taking more action than the other. So the line's probably right. -1 looks like about the right line. The total's 48. It's up from 47.5. And we're getting some more money here on the under, believe it or not. So 66%, two-thirds of the money coming in on under the 48. You know, this is a game where all of a sudden Houston now and Indianapolis are two teams that were thinking maybe they're contenders here. A little bit more than, certainly more than we thought about in the past. So, you know, with Kansas City sliding, there's a lot of teams in the AFC waking up saying, you know what, we have a shot here. This is a big game.
Yeah, no, it's interesting as the last few weeks have shown Kansas City is vulnerable with no offensive line and just no running game to speak of. It's wide open. Geek, this looks like a carnival of a game, starting with my guy right here. There he is. He's going to be doing that a lot during the game. He's going to be raising his arms and saying touchdown. Deshaun Watson's got to be the headliner if you're looking at this game.
Yeah, I mean, Watson is coming off of just a string of incredible games. The same effect that has the same scenario that's been in effect for this team remains in effect, which is that they don't tend to run a lot, but I'm giving it just as much of a shot. We've seen a lot of games at the Colts. The Colts defense there are times when they can really stifle you if they use their running game the way they can with Cheeto Mack, and they do their thing. They're able to stifle opposing offenses, and their defense is better, I think, than advertised. So there is sort of there's a lot of recency bias going on here.
Deal with your cat.
Deal with your cat. Recency bias going on here. And of course, that's something to keep in mind as the cat distracts me from this breakdown, to where I'm not locked in 100% that this will be a play to the over type of a game, even though it feels like, sure, it's in the dome and all those great reasons why it could be. If it does play to the over, my guy is T.Y. Hilton. I love him. I love him against Houston. For some reason, he seems to do his best against Houston at home. You know, on the Colts side, if the Colts are kind of controlling the game, it's going to be through Marlon Mack. And on the Houston side, man, could we trust DeAndre Hopkins at this point? I mean, you tell me. What the hell's going on with DeAndre Hopkins?
He's due, man. He's due. What's happening is, from what I've seen, is they are just literally shifting coverage over towards him. And, you know, they just haven't forced him the ball. You know who's been getting the ball is my guy, Daniel Fells, who I mentioned on this cast last week and got laughed off by both of you. Daniel Fells, this 6'8" former basketball player, 33 years old, in the peaking at 33 years old. And for real, he's actually been getting Deshaun Watson's been looking to him when the play breaks down because he's such a big target. But from a DFS perspective, obviously DeAndre Hopkins priced way too high, I assume, in order to use him. But I just think that he is, you know, you talk about regression, he's going to get positive regression. Is there any, I mean, he was the number one wide receiver off the board in most season long leagues. I just can't see a situation. He's one of those guys that doesn't have elite speed, but catches everything you throw at him. Are you guys, John, what do you think about Hopkins? I mean, is he going to get back to being who he was, or is this just sort of one of those seasons? Hey, look at that. And you got the cat in your lap. Or is this just one of those seasons where you're disappointed in your number one overall pick?
I think it's going to take a lot for him to make people undisappointed. You know, and maybe as far as season long goes, maybe some big weeks come the end of the year and in the playoffs for people. But, you know, when we're looking at this from a DFS standpoint, I nothing's telling me necessarily to get off of him other than he just hasn't had those big weeks. So there's no injury that I know of.
No. The coverage shifted over every time I watch. It's like
had that before.
What I'm seeing, they're just running shorter patterns with him. They're running him out there like a possession wide receiver, and they're using Will Fuller as the deep threat. Now, Will Fuller dropping passes like a maniac last week, but I mean, it was very clear that Hopkins was out there as the possession guy, which is weird because who's the better? I don't think there's a better wide receiver to throw a football up to and have him come down with it than DeAndre Hopkins in the National Football League. Like, he would be my number one choice for that kind of pass, but they haven't been doing that.
Yeah, it's an ugly play, but also cash games. I'm hoping you both agree that Carlos Hyde at this point has proven that he is just, you put him in there, you can expect double digit fantasy points. If he gets in the end zone, you're looking at a 15, 16 point day. Moving on, next game, Oakland at Green Bay. John, before we even start, Green Bay is getting 6 points here. Interesting line. I'm curious to hear you talk about it, but right off the bat, who's been a better coach this year, the much maligned John Gruden or Sean McVay?
Well, just to make sure, and I know you just misspoke, but Green Bay is laying the 6 points.
Yes, right now, sorry about
5.5.
Yep.
And Gruden, or I mean, you have to like Gruden. Right?
I mean, obviously, I set you up knowing what you were going to say, but isn't that funny how everyone said Gruden's a bad coach, he doesn't like analytics, and Sean McVay is the next Bill Belichick? But now, 6 games into the season, Gruden hasn't been that bad. I love Oakland in this one. I think that they actually have a chance to win this game.
They do have a chance to win this game, and if they do, it's going to be one of those survivor pool kind of knockout type games. Once you get around the 7, I know a lot of people have Buffalo, obviously, but down to 5.5. The money's coming in on Oakland, so I think people agree with you because, quite frankly, Green Bay, you know, the public's going to have that taste in their mouth where they believe Green Bay should have lost that game on Monday night. And Oakland has looked better than we've expected. So getting this amount of points, the public, not a shock here that we've got 65% of the cash coming in on the Oakland side. I think maybe a little bit of a surprise here is just how much money is coming in on the total. We've got a total of 47, 91% of the money coming in on the over, with about the tickets are about 57-43 in favor of the over. So we're seeing sharps pounding the over on this game. So is this the game where Rodgers becomes, you know, the Rodgers and which wide receiver? That's the question. Are the stack and Oakland, are we stacking Carr as well? That's the question.
Yeah, Geek, if Oakland's going to do it, who is what I want you to answer is who's going to score the points on that team? Is it just like a Josh Jacobs thing? Is there a receiver that's live? Are you still into Tyrell? And then more specifically, in my season-long league, I guess you could circle back to this, I'm having a real decision here. Do I start Josh Allen or do I start Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers is going to give you a little of that magic dust right there. I'm concerned about Aaron Rodgers from fantasy perspective. Talk about both of those things, the Green Bay passing attack with this new receiver they have, Alan Lazard, and then I really want to hear what you have to say about Oakland.
All right, so yeah, there's a lot going on here. Let me start with the Packers passing game, first of all. And we did see Geronimo Allison go down last week, some sort of, I believe it's a concussion. So he's got a chest, he's got multiple injuries, probably not going to play this weekend. Aaron Rodgers just is not that good without Davante Adams. Let's get it straight. He's just not that good. His wide receiver core here is very, very pedestrian, and that's me being kind about them. So the plus for them, though, is this Raiders defense can't stop anything. So you have this interesting scenario where, yeah, this would normally be an incredible spot for Aaron Rodgers, but who the hell is he throwing to? And, you know, last week we saw Lazard, Alan Lazard kind of come out, and there was this article about how Rodgers sort of asked for him to get in the game, and you know, he's like, I love this guy, and he's really, and you know, he's throwing to him, and he loved his poise and all that. But I've heard this shit before from Aaron Rodgers. Let me tell you, let me warn you, I've heard the same words about other guys. Jay Kumaro, who was one of my guys, one of Aaron's guys, and I've heard that about Valdez Scantling. I've heard that about all of these guys, so I don't trust it.
Here's what I'm going to say to that, though. If you watch that game, how many balls were dropped?
It was disgusting.
By Green Bay, and then they'd flip to Aaron Rodgers, and he would either be mouthing some expletives or shaking his head. So I have a feeling he's pretty fed up with most of the guys he's got out there, and Lazard made a big play for him. So in this instance, he might be looking a little bit to Lazard.
I mean,
in this game.
I also saw Valdez Scantling make one of the greatest catches I've ever seen.
Yeah, but the problem with MVS is he's not a number two receiver. And with Davante Adams out there, he's not one of those number two receivers that can convert to a one like a Tyler Boyd. He's best cast as a number three guy. It almost felt like they were like, put in Timmy Lupus, you know, from the Bad News Bears. And all of a sudden, you know, Alan Lazard comes in and makes that catch like Lupus did with his eyes closed in right field. I mean, is this someone that, I mean, I'm playing Lazard in there, but is that just fool's gold to chase a wide receiver like that?
Listen, on DraftKings, if you can get a guy for 3K who's going to be starting, right? And there's no one else on that team. There's Kumaro. Everybody forgot about Kumaro, by the way. He's only 3,600, and I probably the better DFS play, to be quite honest. But sure, I mean, if you could get passing pieces in this offense against the Raiders for 3K for 3,600, I don't really see the greatest reason to pay up for Valdez Scantling at over 5K. But when you need a super punt, a cheap player on your DraftKings, not a FanDuel play for me, but on the DraftKings side, these are the guys that are totally fine in the sub 4K range. A lot more to talk about, though. Oakland, you know, your boy, the Gazelle, probably not going to play. He hasn't practiced. He hasn't practiced yet. It's Wednesday. You know, at some point, he didn't practice all last week. So this guy has been out of it for a while. Who are they throwing to? It's only the tight end Waller or the running back, Jacobs. So I don't like the potential for a lot of scoring here because neither team has very good weapons. I do think the Green Bay running game is going to be underestimated here. I think that's where they're going to go. I think they're going to go to the running game and have success there. Very difficult between the perfect 50-50 split between these two guys to get a sense of who will get most of the work. But I'm going to stay away from Aaron Rodgers. I think it's going to be a Green Bay Packers rushing onslaught that they try to win this with. And I think that pretty much the pieces on Oakland are all playable because if they can keep this game close, it's going to be because Waller's getting passes and catching them and securing them. And it's because Josh Jacobs is having a decent game.
Yeah, and then is there anyone else? I mean, it's just there's no other receivers you would even consider from Oakland.
No. Who? Keelan Doss, Hunter Renfrow. They don't do anything.
I know he just joined the team, but Zay Jones, not even a thought.
Absolutely not. No touching these guys. Stay away. Hey, the Packers' pass defense is good, as we noted, where Stafford could not throw for a touchdown the entire game, and he was moving the football pretty well. No touchdowns. So, you know, I'm going to say that this Packers' pass defense remains decent.
All right, that's fair enough. As you guys know, our friends at Fantasy Draft are the only rake-free daily fantasy site that brings the heat again with their $500,000 guaranteed rake-free contest, the Hooter Main Event. This is the largest and only rake-free contest of its kind and will be good for week 7. And remember, only at Fantasy Draft are you 100% of the entry fees paid to contestants. Sign up at fantasydraft.com with referral code ARMY, that's ARMY, and you'll get a free 7-day trial membership. We talk about it every week, but just briefly, talk about the importance of rake-free DFS and why people should go play at fantasydraft.com.
Guys, I every single week, you don't understand. Somebody asked me this week, why should I play there? I don't understand. Why do they charge $5 for $1,000 in entries? Well, I don't pay shit on DraftKings or FanDuel. And I said, no, you pay $150 for $1,000 of entries on FanDuel or DraftKings. Here it's $5. I don't understand why that's not clicking in. $1,000 in entries is like, for an average player, it's about a month's worth of NFL. Now, at the end of a month, if you started with $1,000 and you have $1,200 or $1,100, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Like, hey, man, I got to play. I enjoyed myself. I made 10% on my money. That's awesome. Well, at Rake Free, that's where you'd be. In the same scenario, you'd be down some money on FanDuel or DraftKings because they'd be charging you 15%. You don't feel it, but it's very important for the industry, for the ecosystem, for the long-term viability of daily fantasy sports, this thing that we love. We don't want to drain our bankrolls because then we are degenerate gamblers. Okay, John, what's the difference between a degenerate gambler and a sharp gambler?
You're looking at the two of them on the top window. One sharp, one degenerate.
Yes. So in other words,
degenerates don't pay attention to things like VIG.
That's right.
And the sharps do.
What do degenerates also not do? Make profit long term. They lose money. So if you want to not be a degenerate DFSer, a great way to skew the chances in your favor are to play without paying 15% to the house every time you wager.
You said it all
there. If you're not doing that, use promo code ARMY if you want to support this podcast. We don't get any money for it, but it supports the podcast. It keeps that sponsorship going, and hopefully we are able to keep bringing you this kind of information and this podcast. And if you like us, subscribe, of course, to the channel, to the podcast, wherever you're getting this, but also check out Fantasy Draft and use promo code ARMY.
John, Mustache Mania came to a screeching halt last week. Jacksonville this week goes into Cincinnati. Cincinnati getting, I'll make sure I say that clearly this time, 3.5 points. Where are we at with Jacksonville? They just traded away their best defensive player in Ramsey. It's not like he was really playing for them anyway, so it probably didn't affect the line too much. I don't really have a make on this game. Talk to me about the trends for the Mustache game.
Yeah, no effect with Ramsey certainly in this game. As you said, he hasn't really done much for them.
Yes.
Jacksonville is getting 80% of the money. They're 3.5 point favorites here. And on the total, it's a 44 total, and the money is coming in fairly heavily here on the under. I think that's a byproduct, obviously, of Jacksonville playing so poorly offensively last week. And I think the market is pretty sour on Cincinnati, despite the cover last week, which we had them as a play. They really did not look all that great in their game last week. So I think the line is actually right. I had it in my numbers. It should be about 4 and 45. I had it on the total. I think what we're looking at in this game is as the real juice is the Jacksonville rushing game. So I think this could be a big game for Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, I mean, every game has been a big game for him, and he hasn't even really gotten into the end zone too much. So imagine when he actually...
One time.
Imagine when he has that 3-touchdown mega throbber game. I mean, it's just going to be... He's going to be the million maker, you know, is going to have him in the lineup at the right time. Geek, hit on all the big guys. This game looks attractive. I just talked myself into putting Fournette in my lineup. But the one guy, when you get around to him, I really am interested is DJ Shark, as always. And talk to me, is Auden Tate good for my wide receiver three?
All right, so here we go. Here we go. The first thing we need to know for sure is AJ Green coming back? And if he is coming back, how much will he play? That will affect the Auden Tate situation significantly, because I do think if AJ Green is out there, it's actually Tyler Boyd who we want to get into our lineups, because AJ Green will command some attention on the outside and it'll get Boyd back to the slot and, you know, back to the third or fourth corner, hopefully, or the second corner. Not the best guy, right? But before even looking at that, John, I mean, the statsational model, 183 rushing yards for Jacksonville. And I happen to know, because I watch these games, that Jacksonville only rushes with Leonard Fournette. They don't have another guy that they bring out to grab any of those yards. So what we're calling for here is essentially a very big game for Leonard Fournette on the ground. And it's been a cheat code against Cincinnati to use whatever running back is facing them. They can't stop the run. I love it. I love it all in.
Yeah, this is a juicy spot.
Now, all right, let me ask you a question. Let's get deep into some DFS. I feel like I'm all in on Leonard Fournette this week, right? On DraftKings in particular. Now, you make 150, 300 lineups. When I say all in, let's say you felt like you want to be all in on a player. Would you ever go 80%+ ownership on a running back in a unicorn spot like what we have for Leonard Fournette? Or would that have to be like Leonard Fournette, but at 4,500 where right. It just can't
yeah.
fit?
Yeah, the only time that happens is like if they made a pricing error, like it almost happened with Barkley a couple of weeks ago. But that's just my strategy. I can totally get behind you saying I'm going 100% this player, and I have absolutely no problem with that. Again, it's just based on strategy. I would just say do the same thing every week and be consistent with it, so that when it does work, it's going to work big for you. So just a strategy that I don't employ. Unless it's one of those situations where it's a huge value guy and he was priced at like, you know, 4,000.
Sage advice. I do go all in on players, but I do tend to like those exactly like what you just said, those value plays. Like if last week Latavius Murray had been full blast starting, that was a lock button for me. That was going to be that play that I have 100% exposure to. Chase Edmonds would have been the same way at his salary, the passing game usage, and all of that. But once you start to get into a 7K player, we're not just trying to figure out, will he have a very, very good game? We're also trying to figure out, is anybody above or below him going to have a better game? And so there's that second unknowable factor where we don't have to worry about that as much when they're 4,500. Now, rest of this game. So on the Jacksonville side, I like DJ Shark. That's it. Why not? Why am I messing around? He came down in salary after last week. This is the Bengals that can't stop anyone.
Music to my ears. Music to my ears.
Love DJ Shark here. All good. On the Bengals side, not a whole lot to like. I mean, I guess some people will talk Joe Mixon because, you know, the Jaguars' run defense hasn't traditionally been good. But you know who else hasn't been good? Joe Mixon. So, and that Bengals offensive line. So I think the badness of both. I think, A, that's why the stats model is not showing heavy rushing game prowess for the Bengals. It's showing 82. And I think a lot of that has to do with just Joe Mixon hasn't done shit. So why should we expect him to start now? And there's nothing else that stands out about this game on the Cincinnati side, except for Tyler Boyd, massively underpriced on FanDuel and maybe a little bit underpriced on DraftKings as well.
No respect for Auden Tate. I understand.
No Tate. Not with Green coming back. Not with Green coming back.
Yep. LA Rams are going to go into Atlanta. Atlanta, who just kind of sucks, is getting 3 points. The Rams have just kind of fallen apart. It's they don't throw downfield. Jared Goff looks like his contract is a complete waste of you never sign a guy like that, right, John? You never extend a guy that's kind of just like Andy Dalton, sort of middle of the road. Gurley, who knows, right? Malcolm Brown showed he's just a guy. For some reason, they don't give the ball to Daryl Henderson, who looked electric in his few carries, even though a pitch went off his face mask. Who gets well in this week? Is this a get well week for the Rams? I'm pissed because Julio Jones is going to get Jalen Ramsey theoretically. Where's the money going? I mean, you can't even Atlanta at home. I don't know, John.
Yeah, I mean, people do like Atlanta at home. Typically, they play better at home. They've just looked awful. I mean, and then, you know, that missed extra point last week hurt hurt me with the chance to cover that game on the road. So the one thing we could count on is Atlanta's offense has shown up. And the other thing we can count on is Atlanta's defense does not show up. So this is one of those games where it's going to be heavily played in the DFS world, that's for sure. The money right now at -3, still opened up at -4, it's now -3. It's coming out on the Rams, about 60% of the money, with a little bit more than that on the tickets coming in on the Rams. We look at the total. This is, I believe, the highest total on the board this week, 54.5. And even at that number, people are coming in on the over. So we can expect a lot of chalk in this game as well come DFS day.
Yeah, Geek, when you're looking at Rams, I mean, I know people like the spot that Goff is in, but he just can't throw the ball downfield right now. Brandon Cooks is getting downfield, but they can't get in the ball. Can Cooper Kupp be the entire offense at this point? I mean, is he locked in as an autoplay?
I mean, in this game, yeah. So Goff has had some tough matchups. Do you want to really judge a guy coming off of a game against San Francisco? I am telling you, San Francisco is going to do this to everybody. So everybody's going to look bad coming off a game against San Francisco. They're just all going to do that. So don't judge based on that. But I'm old enough to remember 2 weeks ago when the Rams put up 40 against the Bucs, or 1 week ago where they put up 30 against Seattle. So this is not a bad team. This is a good offense. They had a very tough game in an impossible situation. San Francisco, again, is going to emerge as the number one defense in the league. They will be better at the end of the season, I think, than Chicago is. They will be better than New England is. That's the elite defense of the NFL this season. So, or at least they have a chance to be. So let's not judge too harshly based on that. And no, is Goff amazing? No, but yes, Kupp is in a great spot. Woods and Cooks, they're going to have their good games. I like this spot. Now, the question for me is, do I trust Goff in a cash game against a Falcons team that has literally produced a sort of slate-breaking score by every opponent that has faced them? They're going to score, and if the other team's going to be pressing the action every single time, and you don't have like a running back on this team that should command too much of this offense. So, you know, I'm still back and forth on whether I think Goff is cash viable, but I love him in tournaments. I love this game. It's a 55-point total. The fact on the Matt Ryan side that they now have a shutdown corner supposedly in Jalen Ramsey to shut down Julio Jones reduces the number of variables. We can sort of reduce how much we wanted of Julio here. Not eliminate him completely, because Julio is Julio. He'll go off for 40 points when you least expect it. But, you know, this makes Calvin Ridley super interesting, especially on FanDuel for dirt cheap free. And it makes Hooper interesting once again. Hooper's been basically the MVP of the tight end position.
Tight end one in fantasy.
Absolutely.
Tight end one. He was one of the right answers in your fantasy league this year.
Yes, I remember taking Hooper going, man, I wish I could have gotten Vance McDonald two picks before, but I'll settle for Hooper.
It's amazing, Oops. Right?
I did a lot of Hooper settling. So,
No, it's amazing. It's especially in a year at the tight end that's just terrible. I mean, Sean McVay's got to get that answer figured out. Matt Ryan, on the other hand, has just been unbelievable each week for fantasy. And all their scoring comes through the air. There hasn't been much with the running game. So that's an interesting take that you had there.
I think a lot of people are going to try to get on Devonta Freeman here. I'm not on board. I know he got some passing game work last week, but you know, this Rams defense is not bad against the run at all. And they have big dudes who can stop the run on this team. And, you know, outside of last week, Freeman has been a complete and utter, I'm not going to say a complete shit show.
He hasn't been good. He hasn't been worth it.
He hasn't been getting yards for the most part. Let's put it like that. I mean, you know, 30 yards, 20 yards, 19 yards, 22 yards. I mean, there were too many games here with a very, very low floor, but I do think the salary is reflective of the true expectation here. So I don't think he's over or underpriced, particularly on FanDuel or DraftKings based on his expectation, but he is not a tutty scorer outside of the last week or two where he got this past week, especially where he got the two against Arizona.
John, I got a hot take for you right now. So put on your seatbelt. I like the Washington money line. I think this is an upset spot for, I think, San Francisco coming all the way across the country. Everyone's calling them, you know, Super Bowl contender at this point. Terry McLaurin looks great. Case Keenum under center. I know they're a terrible team. I know they're one of the worst teams, but this is usually the spot where it could happen. This looks like what
are you saying? This is where the rest of the people alive in their survivors get knocked out.
A lot of times you'll avoid the on the road big favorite, but yes, this is a big survivor, you know, train wreck right here. What is the current money line for Washington?
I'm going to tell you, I like Washington with the points.
Yeah, no, definitely with the points.
Ballsy call. I won't. You know, I don't
know.
I don't know if you're playing the money line. I like that though.
Yeah.
I like going out on a limb there. So this way you have something to brag about next week when it happens.
Well,
so,
and that's what I'm saying. It's not really a hot take because if it doesn't come in, nobody expects it to. So
exactly. And we'll never bring it up again. Don't worry about it.
Right. I'm just saying it's a low risk hot take. I'll admit that. Absolutely. It's kind of a little bit nutless monkey of me, but it's, you know, I have a feeling nothing, all anecdotal. All right. Talk to me about what the real
sure.
players are doing.
Sure. We've got, so this game's up to 10 now. And the money's coming on San Francisco. I don't think that's a shock after the Monday night game that everyone saw. And then they go into the Rams and win. So obviously Washington hasn't given anyone any reason to think they're any good. So, yeah, typically this is one of those spots where you say, you know, this could be one of those letdown games. They just had one of the biggest wins they've had in years here in San Francisco. Could be a letdown. I'm with you on that. So, but I'll take the 10 points. But at 70%, the money's coming in on San Francisco, 85% of the tickets. This is a game where, from a DFS standpoint, we're looking at a 41 total, so not typically a game that we're targeting. And the public really believes in the San Francisco defense. They're coming in 79% on the under. So everyone's thinking at a 10-point spread and a 41 total, there's really going to be no points scored by Washington. That's what they're expecting.
Yeah, I don't. You know, that is, I can see why, but I think Terry McLaurin already is one of the best route runners in the NFL, and he just knows how to get open. He did it at Ohio State, and he's doing it here in the NFL. I think he'll find a way to get loose, and Adrian Peterson, man, just when you think you've killed that guy, he gets back up again. He's like the Terminator in the first one when they would stick the axe in him and he would split in half and get back up and run again. Geek, which one of the San Francisco running backs can I play? Or should I play?
I started with the hard one. Listen, I think both running backs are very playable here. This is one of those situations where you could see 200-plus rushing yards from the San Francisco team in the smash spot. As a matter of fact, if what you guys are saying, you know, if even any of that comes close and they can cover, for example, Washington can just stay in it somehow. I think it's even better for this running game because what my biggest concern is a healthy dose of Raheem Mostert in the third, 3.5 in the fourth quarter when this game is so out of control that they just kind of sit Breida and Coleman down. But it's very tough to play either guy individually because we don't know. Coleman last week was getting a little more work by the goal line, so that was encouraging, but I don't know that that's something that's going to be consistent, or that's just quote what happened last week. That could easily just change, and this week we see Breida being used more by the goal line. We don't know. There's no rhyme or reason really to the San Francisco rushing attack, or if there is one, I haven't figured it out yet. But I mean, the ancillary evidence is Coleman got more touches than Breida last week. So Coleman on paper appears to be the better of the two plays. They're borderline the same price on DraftKings right now. I like them both. I don't even mind if somebody wanted to use both of these guys. Let's say I was just doing, I don't love their salaries. I had said on my, in my write-up, I actually said that if Coleman and Breida were both under 4K, and they're not that much over, but if they were both under it, I would consider using them both, even in sort of a hedge/cash type approach where I figure I can rack up all of the 200 yards that San Francisco is going to rush for between these two guys. And maybe one guy gets a little more and the other one gets a little less, but it levels itself out.
You know what Matt Breida reminds me of? This undersized guy who can run through the tackles. He's like the
Lindsay.
Yeah, he's like the NFC version of Lindsay, who everyone doubts is this, you know, is undersized, but they run better through the tackles than they do on the outside. Yeah, that's, I'm glad you you read my mind on that
it's,
one.
It's a very similar situation where it's surprising, and he seems more explosive than the other guy. Whenever you watch him visually, he just looks a little more explosive.
Go ahead, you know, we saw with, I guess 2 years ago when a few times the big GPP winners were using both of the new the Saints running backs,
right? Kamara, Ingram and
Ingram were, and it was like all of a sudden, you had to start changing your strategy because you never want to put two running backs for the same team. And now all of a sudden that was a viable option, and I'm changing my formulations there of lineup, saying, okay, I'll allow two running backs as long as it's the Saints. I think you might be in a situation here where potentially you could get, and this could be that game where you get two running backs for one team that hit. So if you're playing in a lot of lineups, even if you're playing a minimal amount of lineups in GPPs, there's a way that you might want to differentiate yourself from some other lineups using guys who might be, I don't know if they're chalky, but and they're cheaper than the Ingram Kamara combo was back then. So
yeah, I actually just wrote that down. You know, while you guys are talking, sometimes I'm writing down some ideas and then I cross them off as I go. Go, oh, that's a better one. I really like that one, playing both of the San Fran running backs in this game. I mean, I think that's I don't think that's a strategy that a lot of people, I think people are going to be afraid to do that. So I like that one a lot. Moving on, guys, LA Chargers, who have no home field advantage, are actually better on the road. It's unbelievable. Are going to Tennessee. Tennessee is giving 2 points. This game is just, it looks like anytime Tennessee is on, it's boring. But with new QB, Ryan Tannehill, could that spark some life into him, John?
Probably not. I'm not all excited in Tannehill. Or Mariota. This game is a 2-point spread. Public's coming in a little bit more on the Chargers. On the Tennessee, sorry, 58%.
Real quick, John, you would say Tennessee's a lock to trade up to one of those top three spots to get one of those QBs next year?
I think they have to. I think the Mariota experiment has
just
not done. They need the quarterback.
Yeah, they have.
Their defense is real strong.
Yeah, and they have a good running game. They have a good team. They even have. I even like the receivers. I still like Corey Davis. I mean, right? You would mortgage a few first round picks to get up into that one spot to take any of those two, three QBs.
Yeah, if I like those quarterbacks there, I think that's. I think they're a quarterback away from really contending in the league. There's no doubt about it. The defense is strong enough.
Yep, I interrupted you. So what? No, no, no. Go ahead. So where would you?
The total, just quickly, it's one of the lower totals on the, you know, on the board, not shockingly. Total's 40, and the money's kind of 50-50 on there. You know, Rivers himself has not looked all that good, and he's got the weapons there. So they're a team that, you know, Rivers is not a kid anymore. And so I think the years are kind of catching up to him. It's really been a lot of their issues have been Rivers. So, interesting game. Not sure how excited you want to get from a DFS standpoint here, Geek.
One guy that we were totally wrong on this year was Derrick Henry from a season-long perspective. Are the FanDuel players, the non-PPR sites, are they still big on Derrick Henry in DFS?
I mean, to say still big, he hasn't been that bad. So, you know, let's not go crazy.
Not the problem,
he's very cheap on FanDuel, or he's come down to 6,500 on FanDuel, which is essentially right at the same price as a Carlos Hyde and a little bit above, you know, Tevin Coleman and those type of guys this week. You know, you've got a super bargain at Devin Singletary there, but that's another story. So here's the deal. First of all, I'm a little bit more intrigued by the quarterback change, I think, than maybe you guys are. I think Mariota is terrible. I think Ryan Tannehill is competent. So I actually think we'll see more productivity out of this.
Ooh, sorry about that.
Hey,
sorry about that. Sorry about that.
I actually think we'll see more productivity out of the pass catching weapons for Tennessee than we've seen. And I think that helps the entire team. I just think there's going to be a Tannehill or a no Mariota effect that's going to lift up the fantasy points potential for this entire team, be it Corey Davis, who I like, be it Brown, who I like, be it Derrick Henry, who I like. So I like this situation. I like the quarterback switch. Mariota fucking sucks. I've told you that many years. He fucking sucks. He fucking sucks. He fucking sucks. It's enough.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what happens when you take a guy that high.
He showed a little spark his sophomore year.
You know who showed a spark? Mark Sanchez. He fucking sucks, but he showed a spark in a couple of games. We all got excited and we're like, hey, this guy, man, he played competently once. So what? Marcus Mariota, I can count on two hands how many competent games he's had over his entire career.
Well, the reason Sanchez was all right was because they had an elite defense at the time, a top 10 offensive line. And a game manager, you know, you can kind of function in that offense. Again, I use Andy Dalton as the eternal example of a quarterback that can function with when conditions are good. Now, how the LA Chargers, what I really want to know about is the two running backs. Melvin Gordon, last week I stupidly told everyone to play Austin Eckler. He was insulated with the passing game work. It just went away. But our Scatman Crothers, he did not become one of them. Hunter Henry, he came, he showed up, he whooped some ass. Two touchdowns for Hunter Henry. Is he back in the DFS world?
He is back. Hunter Henry is the play that stands out the most on this game for a big reason, because that game took place after the salary algorithms priced all the players in for week seven. So you can get a pretty nice little bargain on Mr. Henry and his nine target, eight reception, two touchdown, coming home or whatever, his homecoming or his initial debut for this team. Now, I can't expect that after something like that, that he's going to go to an afterthought in the offense. What I do want to caution people about, though, is the era of Keenan Allen has come to a close. Let us close the chapter on Keenan Allen. If he's on your fantasy team, I hope you've taken the time to trade him away. Or if you haven't, do it now before people realize that Mike Williams is back. He's healthy. Hunter Henry is back. He's healthy. You've got two running backs that are going to demand the football as well, both via the pass and via the run. There are too many things going on this team, too many weapons. You do not want to spend up for Keenan Allen, who is a volume-based wide receiver. So sell him in your fantasy leagues and avoid paying up elite dollars for him when there are better options for the same price in daily fantasy. And watch that come back to bite me in my ass as he puts
No, I think that's a good take. I think that he's kind of disappeared into the abyss and won't have the same consistency. Minute he has a big game, he's definitely a sell in dynasty. I would take a 2020 first for him all day if it was a high pick. Jerry Jeudy, who's coming out next year, I would take him over Keenan Allen in dynasty for sure. Moving on. Hey, John, Baltimore is going to Seattle. Seattle is laying 3.5. Now, the reason I put the numbers, those aren't money line numbers in there. Those are the juice you have to take in order to get that side. So if you're laying the 3.5, it's even odds. If you're taking the points, you're going to have to lay a little extra juice. I mean, I know it's a little square to say this, but I'm not embarrassed to be myself in front of you guys. Does that really sway your opinion? If you like one of these sides, should I be worried about minus 110 versus minus 120?
Not that it should sway your opinion, but what you should be doing here is if you like Seattle at -3.5, if you like Seattle, you're going to want to grab
obviously
the -3.5 at even, or even better. There's a chance that you can get this, game down to -3. All right. So what they're saying is they're hesitant to move this game back to 3 at the juice, but there's a chance that it will. So if you are patient and you wait, you might get this game at 3 if you're a Seattle better. So that's what I do. And that's part of the advantage of having multiple places, multiple outs, as we call them, is shopping around. So you might be able to find better prices than that. But yes, minus 120 on the Baltimore side, I am seeing as well. So it just makes it more difficult. And we'll talk about that on the gambling podcast, exactly what that means. But
and hold up right there. See, this is the kind of advice geek that you can get on the Beat the Bookie tab. I think this is a good point before we continue with this game to tell the people how they could hear this and all other kind of tidbits that are useful and actionable by John and his team at Beat the Bookie.
Yeah, that's a great segue, guys. If you're into sports gambling specifically, if you want to sort of learn and not be a degenerate, as I said earlier, and learn the art of sports gambling, the nuance of sports gambling.
What's the website?
You just go to dfsarmy.com. You click on the Beat the Bookie tab up in the menu. You can go over to the Beat the Bookie side. You can sign up at Beat the Bookie. John gives his picks. Our guys, we have four pros, professional gamblers in there, including John, including Ryan, who's been on this show before, and Brandon and Anthony as well. Anthony's a MLB and NHL specialist. Brandon's an all around specialist as well. Giving out, they share their personal plays, but they're also breaking down each pick, the why. And what I love about that is
you as a gambler, as a player, as someone who's interested in it, get to look over the reasoning and decide which way you want to go. I read the picks. I don't do a lot of sports betting, but I love those picks and I love the reasonings. I go in there just to read all of them because it helps me with my daily fantasy decision making. If I think, you know, if John's saying a game might play to the under, that might affect some things, you know, and the breakdowns are really, really detailed. So really great stuff. Every sport is covered. It's just nonstop. You're getting a few picks a day to go by. And man, the cost of Beat the Bookie for DFS Army subs, especially if you hit us up, there's a special rate. But at $49.99 a month, I mean, it's nothing compared to other sites that have picks from lesser gamblers that really. So it's just a great deal. And you could learn. And we teach you just like in DFS Army does. We're there not to, you know, hand you lineups or necessarily hand you picks, although that does go on. But it's more about teaching the nuance, teaching you how to make your own analysis. So
that's
I love that.
Key. Anyone who's just selling you picks, any of these touts or these texts that you get, somehow they find your phone number that are selling you picks, those are false. And John, I'm going to do your bidding for you because you're too humble to do it yourself. I know. But John's actually, he is an elite teacher of process. He can teach you how to think about these games. Of course, he has his spreadsheets and his rocket science table full of algorithms, but it's what him and his team do. They actually teach you how to become better. John, brag a little bit before we move back to the Seattle.
Well, I just feel like that's the most important thing. I do enjoy teaching and all sorts of things. But I just want people to get better at it. You know, it took me a long time and a lot of losing money and doing stupid things. And I still know people who do stupid things and then they come back to me after they do those stupid things and ask me what they did wrong. So kind of learn what you're getting is all that experience and you're learning. If you're new to the game, you're going to learn without maybe it costing you so much money as it might've cost me along the way learning those lessons. So that's what I want to do. I want to just make everybody a little bit sharper. There's often things that I'll talk about in those write-ups that I don't even realize. Maybe people don't understand or never thought of before. I give out PGA picks and I've talked about my just how much people should be playing and what the money management and risk management is on those. And I never expected that to get such a positive response, but people came back to me and said, boy, I never thought of it that way. So, and then it led to a whole conversation on how you should be playing these future bets and these long shot type of bets and how to do it correctly so that you're not putting yourself in too big of a risk on taking these essentially long, you know, we're talking about 20-1 and 40-1 shots. You can't be risking that much of your bankroll doing it. So certain times things that I think are obvious because I've been doing them for so long are not to everybody. So I appreciate the fact that guys send me feedback and then I realize, you know what, I need to expound on that a little bit and it helps everybody. So I love having everybody over there in the chats. It's really helpful for everyone.
And the feedback has been tremendous. I mean, a day doesn't go by where I don't get a question about something John said or ask for clarification or, you know, or I don't send somebody over there. It's the talk of DFS Army right now is Beat the Bookie. Everyone's going there. People are signing up at record pace. I definitely suggest you go do it. Back to the Seattle game. John, was there anything else? I mean, do you have a strong take on this game? I mean, this is one of the games I'm really looking forward to from fantasy as well.
Yeah. This is one that I circled from a fantasy standpoint because I think it, maybe I'm wrong, but I think with the other, those, you know, with the games that we talked about, the big Atlanta game and the Giant game, maybe this is the one where you could get a little bit over the market here. And I think it could be a high scoring affair and you might be able to get some good DFS plays out of it. So this is one I'm going to be looking into a little bit deeper. I think we get some points in this game.
Moving on from the betting odds, prop odds, to the players that are going to matter. Geek, this week, something amazing happened with the odds. This man right here became the favorite for MVP. He's even odds now. Russell Wilson, for those of you who are listening, not watching, Russell Wilson became even money and the favorite now to become league MVP. Early season favorites were Pat Mahomes. I took a long shot on Deshaun Watson. Talk about how amazing Russell Wilson has been and in fantasy, both of these quarterbacks, this is going to be a pinball game, isn't it?
It truly is amazing. Wilson is so good, and they hide his talent in Seattle a lot of the time. They try to because they just want to run the football so much that they'll just hide the talent. And I think they're finally starting to realize, hey, no, a Lockett is definitely not a lock, but they're finally starting to realize that, hey, this guy, we're not going to win with this idea of a ground and pound dirty. Let's hold on to the football, slow down the game, and then play great defense, because they don't play great defense in Seattle anymore. So that is the dynamic change that's happened with this team, where they're no longer an elite defense. So this whole, hey, let's grind it out with Marshawn Lynch, whatever they were doing in the past that had sort of muffled Wilson's scoring potential, is gone because they can't play the kind of defense that they had been playing in the past. And the same dynamic is in effect for this game that's been in effect for every Russell Wilson game for multiple years, and certainly for this season, which is, if the opposition can score, Wilson is going to answer. If the opposition cannot score, then Pete Carroll is going to lean on the run and just kill the game that way. So, A, it's the perfect situation for game stacks, not team stacks. We want to go game stacks on this one, because this is going to be a back and forth affair, or it's going to be, you know, the Chris Carson show. One or the other, probably not both. I love Russell Wilson. Now, that being said, both him and Lamar Jackson are very much usable naked. They do not need to be stacked with any pieces on their teams. Russell Wilson, somebody asked, is Tyler Lockett a lock? He is definitely not a lock, because they're not more inclined to throw to Lockett than they are to DK Metcalf or Deron Brown or David Moore or whatever other fucking name that they pull out of the scrap heap this week. There's no rhyme or reason to who they throw to, and they rarely lock in on one wide receiver on this team. So
can we have a moment of silence for Will Dissly, please? I mean, how sickening is that? That guy looked like he was one of the right answers in fantasy, especially at tight end. He has gone out for the year with an Achilles.
He looked good.
So, but that said, can Luke Wilson be a viable player, or just scratch him off my list?
He's viable. I don't know if I want to get down with Luke in DFS, but yes, he's viable. We've seen him have good games with Russell Wilson in the distant past. All right, before he went to Oakland and before he went to Detroit, I remember when Luke Wilson was doing good things with Russell Wilson, and that can happen here. He is a very, very deep sleeper, both for your fantasy league when you know you've got some guys on a bye this week that would normally be viable tight ends. You can play Luke Wilson if you like. I do think he'll get some targets in this matchup. Shame about Disley, but there are no other tight ends on this Seattle team, Hollister or Tyler Ott. None of these guys make any kind of sense. On the running game side, because this is where a lot of decisions are going to happen, Chris Carson is borderline the third chalk running back this week on both sides. So what do we do with that? There's going to be a lot of information that says play Chris Carson as your number three flex play, because it's going to be Dalvin Cook, it's going to be Leonard Fournette, and then you're making a decision. Chris Carson is in that decision-making process. He's coming off of just massive volume games. It does look like Penny might come back this week, but you know, Penny hasn't done shit. And I think the Chris Carson decision, and you know, I don't have an answer for you here on Wednesday, unfortunately, but I do think the Chris Carson decision is going to be the make or break decision this week. Is he going to repeat what he's been doing? This is not a pushover rush defense for the Ravens. They've been pretty decent. So that is the spot where I think it's going to determine a lot of what goes on. But with Wilson himself, if he's scoring, it's because the Ravens are scoring. So we want to game stack that situation. We want to have pieces from both sides, whoever we could figure out. Same deal with Jackson as well. I like Jackson. I think his ceiling is lower. John mentioned it earlier when you talked about the overlay DFS comparison between these two guys. If I had to choose, I'm going to choose Russell Wilson to outscore Lamar Jackson, because he's a better player. I mean, let's get real. Russell Wilson is better than Lamar Jackson in real life. Like, he's a better player. He should score more points here.
I don't know if this is hot takey or not. I don't think it is, but John Geek, I think Russell Wilson's one of the top five football players of all time.
All right, listen, let's take it easy. Take it easy.
That's a hot take. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty
hot. I mean, I think about it for a second. Now, obviously Brady and Montana are on that list. Jim Brown probably on that list when we're thinking all time, but I think you'd be hard pressed. I mean, he does it all. I mean, he's a runner. He's a passer. He's won Super Bowls.
Jerry Rice. There are great all time players that we can have a big debate about this. If you want to say one of the five best quarterbacks of all time, we can have a more reasonable debate.
I mean, he's taken, and again, a discussion for another time. This is a DFS podcast, but he's taking what basically is a below average team, maybe a little bit better than average, and he's making them a superpower. He's always done it. I think when it's we're thinking we're in the present right now, but 20 years from now, I think that, and we're going to come back on this podcast in 20 years, okay? And I want you to realize, I think that he's going to end up being just to the right of the Mount Rushmore of all-time fans.
I'll say this quick. When I compile the numbers, and then generally you can tell what a team should be, what their record should be. More often than not, they are much better than where my numbers have them record wise. And that you can always put on either the quarterback or the coach or a combination of the two. So he is one of those guys who outperforms what the stats say they should be doing record-wise. So.
That proves it. I'm right. Moving on. Next. Just kidding. I put New Orleans is going to go to Chicago. This is a very interesting game to me because Chicago's laying 3.5. To do it, you'll get even no juice. And if you want to take the points, you're going to have to lay a little extra juice at minus 120, similar to what we just saw. Now, the line... I think that they're still pricing in Breeze as like a 6 point to the line, it looks like to me. Whereas I think that Teddy Bridgewater has kind of closed the gap a little bit of what the actual line means. I think like when a backup quarterback comes in, of course, especially from an all-star like Breeze, there's that big. And then as they play more and more, the gap closes. It doesn't look like they've accounted for that, John.
No, I think they have. I do think the gap has closed. What you're saying is, do you think this would have been a 10.5 point, or this would have been a New Orleans as a 3 point favorite?
Yes.
Going in to this game.
Yeah. I didn't express it clearly, but you obviously know what I meant.
Right. So you're thinking Drew Brees plays, they're a 3 point favorite. I don't know. I think this game probably was closer to a pick 'em. If a Drew Brees is starting in this game, the Chicago defense is obviously, as we know, is pretty strong offensively. We'll see if Trubisky is going to be back. I think I heard something today to that effect that he'd be practicing. Yeah,
I'm hearing that he's supposed to come back. We'll see.
Who knows if that's a good thing or a bad thing for the Bears? But anyway, where the market is right now, we're seeing more money come in. Unsurprisingly, I think on the +3 or 3.5, some people have a +3 juiced or -3 juiced on the Chicago. So kind of flipped on the juice, depends where you're looking. So 65% of the money coming in on the Saints, and on the total, we've got a 38. I mean, obviously this is one of those games that everyone thinks is going to be low scoring, and 90% of the money coming in on that under. So doesn't appear on the surface we've got a lot of plays fantasy wise.
Geek, I mean, David Montgomery, I still think is a very good running back. He hasn't really done it from a fantasy perspective. He hasn't had that mega breakout game yet. It's got to be coming, I'm thinking. Also, Allen Robinson has got to be one of the most underrated wide receiver ones in all of fantasy football. I don't really hear anyone ever talking about him. He's a guy I like to play in any slate.
Yeah, I mean, I do like Allen Robinson as a player and potentially in this spot, but let's go through the running games for both teams. First of all, you know, playing running backs against Chicago or New Orleans has not been something that has paid off, you know, handsomely in DFS or in your season long league or pretty much ever. So outside of Josh Jacobs in the London game where, you know, I think the Saints players were or the Chicago players were, you know, out at the pub the night before, having warm beer or something. I don't know. But in general, number one, Kamara's probably not going to play this week. He did not play a ton last week. He's got that Q tag going. Now you have the Saints bringing up guys from the scrap heap as sort of backups.
Zach Zenner.
Zach Zenner as a backup. So I'm concerned about Kamara playing at all. But unfortunately, this is not this time where we want to, you know, jump on the backup if Lats Murray gets sort of a much bigger role here, because again, they're at Chicago and that's not a defense to be trifled with. And we learned last week that you start fucking with running backs in bad matchups just because they're cheap, Malcolm Brown, and you wind up with a shitty, shitty score. So I don't like any of the running backs in this game. David Montgomery, yes, he should break out. but it's not going to be here. This is the Saints. It's very tough to run on them. Tariq Cohen, a little interesting, because at least Tariq Cohen, if you're a sharp Chicago coaching staff, you're thinking we're not going to be able to smash the rock, you know, up the middle with Montgomery against the Saints. But, you know, they're a team that you want to exploit to the outside, passes, screenplays, and things like that. At the wide receiver position, again, don't love the Saints at all in this spot. Don't love Mike Thomas here. Way too expensive anyway for what he's probably going to bring. I don't like any of the Saints wide receivers, because after Mike Thomas, who the fuck is even on that team? I can't even name them. I mean, Ted Ginn Jr., is he still in the NFL? And you know, a bunch of Nayer do-wells. So Allen Robinson is just about the only, at least mildly interesting piece for a fantasy point of view from this game. And just for the reasons you said, Allen, why is he 5,500 and a number one wide receiver on any team?
He gets no respect.
He's just, you know, he's been really good. So, I mean, he's coming off of a 28-point game. He had 15 points the week before, 12 points, 20 points week one. So this guy has big play, big game potential. Of course, we don't know if Trubisky is going to be the quarterback. I kind of would prefer if it was Chase that was the quarterback.
No. Let's not get crazy. I've heard a lot of that.
I don't
talk.
Know. I mean, like,
Mitch is our
know.
Guy. Mitch is still better. Look at him there. Look at him, isn't it? Look at that. Look at him twirl that ball. Look at him twirl that
man,
ball.
Man, these guys, man, they have it made. They have it made. But yeah. I mean, I don't know if I love. I don't know if it makes a difference to me. I think Allen Robinson's in a good spot though, and the Saints have been a defense to attack via the pass. So why not take a shot with A-Rob?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be an interesting game. I'm the Bears' defense doesn't seem. I mean, they seem like they're top five, but they're certainly not like super elite this year. I'm not scared to play any of my Saints. Hey guys, guess what? That's a podcast. We did it. This was record time, but it's also I know we love to yent it up over here, but there was less games this week. Hopefully you enjoyed it at home. If there was any of the DFS angles that we missed, you can certainly tweet at us. John, tell them where to reach you.
On Twitter, as you can see over here, if you're looking on the if you're watching the podcast, Statsational, Statsational, and of course over at Beat the Bookie in our Slack chats. Come say hello when you sign up, and ask me any questions you want.
And that's anything. You can ask him about his personal life, his finances, anything you want to do. If you want to ask him about Social Security number, his college sex life, anything you want, he'll answer.
You could ask. Doesn't mean I'm going to answer.
Well, yeah, you didn't say that you would answer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yep. Geek, I'll let you close, but I'm just going to tell people they can find me on Twitter at Alan Seslowski or in the Slack chat under the season-long fantasy football tab. Also, we'll be in the season-long fantasy basketball tab coming up on Saturday night. Both Statsational and myself will be in the DFS Army Coaches Challenge fantasy basketball draft. What we're going to do is we are going to do a podcast recapping that draft probably sometime next week and just review the picks. And, you know, you guys could really tell us why we had horrible picks. Also, as a reminder, our Waiver Wire Fantasy Football podcast is every Monday or Tuesday. And then on, we are developing a bettors angle only podcast. Geek, where could the people find you and what do you have going on that you want to promote?
Well, basically, you know, I'm going to say this. First of all, if you're watching this on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe. It's very important. I can see a whole bunch of comments going on and a whole lot of chatting happening. A lot of these podcasts that we do are done live, streamed via YouTube. So remember to like and subscribe to that channel, and it will give you some sort of an alert when we're going live. So that's awesome. If you're not a DFSArmy.com VIP subscriber, what are you waiting for? NBA season is about to start, and I promise you this. Let me be very clear. I could not personally, I don't act as a coach. I just play like any other member. I crush NBA because of the tools, because of the help, because of the coaching, because of the projections are amazing. But mostly it's because of the breaking news channel, which is unprecedented. No one has anything quite like this. As soon as news breaks out, we have a full-time person contractually obligated with India and paid to hit that information as quickly as possible. And everybody who plays NBA knows that being first with the news is where the money is made. That season is about to start. I could not do it without being a DFS Army VIP subscriber. It's our best sport. Get in there. Sign up now if you haven't done it. You can ask me questions. John, we're all there. We're very available. We talk to our members. We strategize together. And again, certain sports, something like NBA, just don't bother playing if you don't have a subscription like this. Beyond that, I will be back hopefully with John later in the week for the Wolfpack podcast, if you're around, my man.
I should be.
I love it. So I will be back later in the week in the Wolfpack DFS Army VIP only podcast, where I'll bring in a couple of our pros and ask them questions about the slate, and we'll talk DFS specifically. That usually will come out on a Thursday night. And of course, on Saturday, I will be personally back for DFSArmy.com VIPs only with the Players Club, where we bring it all together, get down and dirty with the week 7 main slate strategies, stacks, cash plays, cash builds, hybrid builds, all that shit packed into one awesome Saturday. Sometimes I rap.
Oh, whoa.
It's happened. Sometimes I'll bust a freestyle. It's worth listening.
Just for that.
If you missed the first look or something this past week, you missed me freestyle singing to a Kenny G song. Freestyle singing. I don't know where else you're going to get that, guys. So sign up for DFS Army VIP, then go over to the Beat the Bookie tab. Sign up as a Beat the Bookie, start sports gambling, but do it not as a degenerate. You don't want to be a degenerate. That should be our tag. Don't be a degenerate.
We'll think of something.
Yeah, we got to come up with it. All right.
That's guys.
It for this one, guys.
This was fun. Until next week, back on Wednesday. See you later. May all your ACLs stay healthy.